You are the light of the world. Jesus says, it begins by saying, I am the light. And if Jesus is the light, what is that light that Jesus is? Well, in the beginning in Genesis, it says that there was darkness over the face of the earth, and then God said, let there be light, and there was light. And it was very good. And so now Jesus is coming and saying, I am the light. In John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus says, "If I am the light, and if you follow me, you will have the light of life." So he's equating light with life. Jesus says, when I am the light, he's talking about life. And so Jesus has life. Now, Jesus didn't want to just have that for himself. He wanted to pass that on to somebody else. And so in Matthew chapter 5, he says, you are the light. First, Jesus is the light. Then he says, now, you are the light. And I'm asking, what does that mean for me or for you, that we are the light? When Jesus said he was the light, the darkness began to just press around him more and more, and there was more darkness and more darkness as he got closer to the cross, and as finally when he was hung up there on the cross, and Jesus, the one that said, I am the light, and he's hanging on the cross, and everything gets dark. Even in the middle of the day, things get dark there because the darkness is just pressing on him. And when the darkness is the greatest, his light shone the most brilliant, right? And he says, when I'm lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself. And so that light was brighter in a very dark place. And now Jesus says, you are the light. Now, if you're just going to be one other light among many lights, it's not really going to be terribly noticeable. If you're in a lighted place and you have one more light, it's not really a big difference. But if you go in a dark place and you're the only light that is shining in that dark place, it is very, very noticeable. And Jesus wants to be noticed, and he wants us to be a light that will be noticed. And so where do you have to go if you want your light to be noticed? You have to go in a dark place. And the darker the place is, and you say, oh, man, well, I don't know if I want to be a light in this place. You know, all these people that come into Alto Refugio, you know, there's like street workers and gays and transvestites and just people that, you know, are just basically rejected by society, and nobody wants them anymore, and they don't behave very well, and sometimes there's all kinds of problems in Alto Refugio. That is Jesus, when Jesus says, you are the light. That light was never meant to be covered up and hidden. That light was meant to shine in the darkest place. And when the problems are the biggest and when everything seems to go wrong, like in the case of Jesus, you are the light. And I have put you in this world to be a light. And so where do we get that light? The Word is the light. If you read in Psalm chapter 119, and I will read the whole psalm right now, and then we'll get to verse 130. No, I won't read the whole psalm.
I just missed an announcement for the children.
Oh, actually, I want the children here with me.
Okay. All right.
Don't send them away, okay. Please. This is just very short, and then I want to actually have the children help me out a little bit. So so I'll give the teachers a break this evening. The Word is the light. In other words, where do we get the Word from? From a solid foundation on the Word of God. If you don't believe that the Word of God is the light, you will not be a light. If you don't believe that the Word of God is actually what it says from beginning to end, from Genesis to Revelation, you will not be a light in this world. And today there's a lot of threat on doubting the Word of God, on doubting the truths of the Word of God, on doubting the need that people need to know Jesus as Savior in order to be saved. And we need to be solidly on the Word of God, because Psalm 119, verse 130 says, the uncovering of the Word of God brings light. And so I need to uncover it for myself. I need to see, what does the Bible say about me? Paul said, Jesus Christ came to save sinners, of whom I am the first. And I'm thinking, well, why would Paul say that? He wasn't such a bad guy. You know, why would he say he was the first of the sinners? He was the biggest. I am the greatest of the sinners. And Jesus Christ came to save sinners, and I'm the greatest one. And I'm saying, well, you know, I wish I had a testimony like some people have testimonies, and they talk about, oh, I was in drugs, and I killed so many people, you know, and I just lived a terrible life. And then Jesus came into my life, and everything has changed. And I can't do that. I grew up in a Christian family. I was in a church. I was baptized. And you know what? There was a time in my life when I came to realize what it means to be the worst of sinners. Because when I was a young fellow, I was pretending to be one thing when in fact I was something else. I was talking about Jesus and I was living a different life. I was up front we would sing in the chorus in the church, and at the same time I would be living a disobedient life. And when I think about that, I ask myself, what is the worst of sinners? And I would ask you, what is the worst of sinners? Is it the person that never comes into church, and maybe he's maybe a violent person, or he's drunk and he abuses people and he does all kinds of bad and never comes into church? Or is it the person that is in the church but living a double life, being disobedient, pretending to be what they're really not? And I would suggest to you that that person that is being a hypocrite in the church is doing more damage than the person that never enters the church. And that was me. And I began to see that I could honestly say, Jesus came to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. And the Lord had mercy on me. And I found in the Word of God that there is nobody that's out of reach of the mercy of God. And that is the basis for which we are in Alto Refugio. I cannot look down on anybody that comes into Alto Refugio. I cannot judge anybody, because the Lord had mercy on me. And I was the first of sinners. And if He can save me, He can save anybody. And that is the confidence that we have in the Word of God, that nobody is out of reach. And that gives us so much confidence that we can receive everybody with open arms, and we can love them, and we can tell them the good news about the love of God that is for everybody. God's desire in the world. I'd just like to read a few verses from Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 to 3. And just see what it is that God's desire is for the world. In Isaiah chapter 60, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, the darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. That's the way God sees our world. That's the way God sees people that don't know the Lord, that don't know Jesus. There is a thick darkness that is covering the world. When Paul gave his testimony about Jesus appearing to him on the Damascus Road, and Paul says, Jesus came to me, he says, arise, because I have called you to be to call people from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to the power of God, to God. And I'm telling myself, you know, what does it take for a person to change from darkness to light? And the Bible says that we need to know the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to know Jesus personally. We need to make a decision personally. And we need to be the people that will go out and tell, because if we do not do it, they will not hear. And if they don't hear, they're lost. No matter what people say, it just doesn't seem right. I don't think that God would really let people be lost if they've never heard. And so we kind of sit back in our easy chairs and say, well, you know, I think God is going to solve that problem somehow. And he solved the problem. He says, go, like the pastor was saying, go. And if you don't go, and if they don't hear, there's a lostness. That if you think that somebody is going to be saved without hearing about Jesus and without making a decision, you are underestimating the power of Satan to hold people in the darkness. You think that the Satan would say, oh, the poor guy, he just never had a chance to hear. Yeah, okay, God, yeah, go ahead. You just take him. He can go with you. No, he's not going to let go of anybody. And there is a power of darkness that is holding people in darkness, that only coming to the Lord Jesus Christ will bring them out of that into the light. And we see that happening, and praise the Lord that it is happening. Let's read on. But the Lord rises up on you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. The Lord rises, and his glory appears. When we are willing to be that light that Jesus has told us to be, the glory of God appears. And I thank God for the privilege of having the glory of God appearing in one very, very dark place. And I have never in my life seen an open door as big. I mean, I'm sorry, Elmer, I haven't been to China. I understand that there are billions of people in China, and maybe the doors are even wider open in China. I haven't been there. But in Paraguay, I have never seen a door as wide open as the HIV/AIDS ministry, and to have a drop-in center that fills up from Monday to Friday. It fills up with people that would never darken the door of a church. What would you do here in this church, Pastor, if from Monday to Friday this place would fill up, and the street workers and the gays and the transvestites and the people that nobody else wants, and they would just come and fill up this whole church here? What would you think? Monday to Friday, the whole place just fills up, and you can just come in here and enjoy your time with these people from the street, people that, you know, nobody else wants. Would that be like a nightmare, or would that be like a dream come true? For me, it's a dream come true. And it's a place that God has allowed us to be, where we can touch people's lives and where the glory of God can appear among people, and we can see people. And there are many people that have come, taken a step further in their relationship with God, and have come to the point where they have known the Lord Jesus Christ. And then in verse 18 to 20, it says, "No longer will violence be heard in your land, nor ruin nor destruction within your borders, but you will call your walls salvation and your gates praise, and the sun will no more be your light by day, nor will the brightness of the moon shine on you. For the Lord will be your everlasting light, and your God will be your glory." God receives glory, and that's the purpose. God says he has placed us in this world to be his glory. And I just want to encourage you. It is like Judy said too, it is the greatest privilege to simply be obedient to God and allow him to do unexpected and wonderful things in our lives, so that he will receive glory and his purpose will be accomplished. And that purpose is that the glory of the Lord will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. And so I thank God for the privilege of being able to work in this place. There's a verse in Isaiah that just popped out for me. All of a sudden, I was reading the portion in the Bible, and I came across this verse in Isaiah chapter 49. And when I run across really special verses, I can't help but sing them. So this is a scripture version of Isaiah chapter 49, and I'd like to see if you can tell what the heart of God is for this world. Do you have this? Is this mic going here? Yeah. Listen to this verse. Maybe it'll pop out for you too. What is God's vision? How big is God's vision? How big is his vision here in this part of the world, and in Paraguay and anywhere else in the world? Isaiah 49 verse 6 says, "It is too small a thing that you should be my servant, to raise up the tribes of Jacob. And it is too small a thing that you should be my servant, to restore the remnant of Israel. I will also make you a light for the nations, that you may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth. I will also make you a light for the nations, that you may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth." Anybody want to help? "It is too small a thing that you should be my servant, to raise up the tribes of Jacob. And it is too small a thing
that you should be my servant to restore the remnant of Israel. I will also make you a light to the nations, that you may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth. I will also make you a light to the nations, that you may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth.
Where is the end of the earth? If I would say in Paraguay that we were in La Crete and I would show them in the map where La Crete is, they would say, wow, that's the end of the earth, right? And you maybe think of Paraguay or China or whatever, and you say, well, that sounds like the end of the earth to me. Well, you know what the end of the earth is? It's any place where there is an end without Christ. We want our end to be with him. We want to be in that light where there is going to be that light all the time, and we're going to be in the presence of God and the light of God and enjoying life. And whoever is not headed in that direction, that's the end of the earth. And we all have people that are in the end of the earth, and where we need to be that light. We got to know at the very beginning of our AIDS ministry doing hospital visitations, we got to know Rosa and Abel. He was dying. Abel was 8 years old, and he was dying of AIDS. And his mother found out that she also had HIV, and she wanted to just wait till Abel died, and then Rosa would just kill herself, and that was the end of it. We got to know her, and slowly, we got to know Rosa, and we talked with her, and we found out she could do crochet. So while she was sitting beside her son there, Judy would bring her stuff so she could do crocheting, and so she started doing things, and we helped her sell those things. And we got to be friends with Rosa. And Abel got better again. He didn't die. He came out of the hospital. And where are they going to go now? They had nowhere to go. And so we said, well, we have a little house in the back of our yard there. And if that's good enough for you, you and your son, you can live in that place. And so they came and lived on our yard there in the house. And gradually also coming to church. And they came to a point where they made a decision, received Christ. Rosa received Christ as her Savior. And Abel received Christ. And so they were just like, it was just... A huge, huge change was beginning to happen in their lives. Abel had some dreams, and like my wife said, you know, watch out what your dreams are, because God really takes those very seriously. Abel wanted to be a preacher, and he wanted to have a father. Now, Rosa was a single mother with this one child, and she's with HIV and AIDS, so that is really complicated for somebody to be able to have a father. For Abel, I didn't know if that was possible. And then he wanted to also be a preacher or a pastor. He wanted to be a pastor, and he wanted to preach. And so I'm saying, well, God, I don't know. This guy, he's crippled. He could hardly walk. I had to lift him up and had to carry him around. And he was like, didn't have a very good outlook for a long life. I didn't think he was, maybe wouldn't live very long. And so he doesn't understand these things. He's only 8 years old. Well, as time went along, Rosa, being a Christian, said, I'm going to go back to my former friend whom I ran away from when I found out I have AIDS. He's not the father of Abel, but he's a friend that I was seeing before I found out that I had AIDS. I'm going to go back to him now and tell him, because they had been living together, it was her responsibility to tell him what disease she had, that she had HIV, and that he should test himself to see if he also had HIV. Well, he was very surprised to see her again, because she had just disappeared from him. And she said, well, he said, I will do the test. It doesn't really matter if I have AIDS or not. I want to be with you. And so he did his test. And I remember the day that he came into Alto Refugio with his test results, HIV positive. Also had it. But he was not sad about it. He simply said, I accept this fact, and I want to live with this, and I want to live with Rosa and Abel. Well, Rosa wasn't just going to live with him now. She's a Christian, and she knew that this wasn't she wasn't going to go back to this same situation. So they went and got married. They got a civil wedding, and we had a little wedding there in Alto Refugio and a celebration, and they got married. Abel had his father. His dream came, that one of his dreams came true. He had a father. And so as time went on, Rosa's husband, Danny, also came. I remember it was an evangelistic campaign where Franklin Graham was in Paraguay, and we went to the stadium, and there was like 45,000 people out there, and Franklin Graham made the invitation, and Danny, Rosa's husband, said, "I want to go forward." And he went from way up in the stands, he went all the way down and right to the front, and he gave his life to Christ. And so here is a complete family unit that has been formed out of what was a hopeless situation, a woman that just wanted to kill herself and was just waiting for her son to die, and now he has a father. Well, Avil was very sick, and several times he was in the hospital, and it just seemed like things were going to an end for Avil. He was now 12 years old, and he just was getting worse and worse, and the medications weren't working anymore. And by that time, at the beginning, we didn't even have an AIDS center, but by now we had the AIDS center when he was in the hospital. And every Tuesday we have support group meeting. That's one of the main activities that we have in Alto Refugio, besides having devotions every day where we have opportunity to share the word of God with the people. But on Tuesday afternoons is support group meeting. That's when people come together that have been somehow affected by HIV/AIDS, and we get together, and there's usually about 15 or 20 or 25 people together in a group, and we share and we talk about anything that they want to talk about. Well, we had started the support group meeting, and all of a sudden I get this notice from somebody that came from the hospital and said, "Avil wants to be in the support group meeting." He had often taken part, and he just loved it because we would sing in the support group meeting. He loved to sing, and so he wanted to be in the support group meeting. And I said, no, that's not possible. You see, Avil is with all kinds of stuff hooked up. He has the IV hooked up to him, and that's just totally out of, the doctor will never allow that. And so we just continued with our support group meeting, and then soon another notice came from the hospital and says, "Avil is very upset with you. And he wants you to know that the doctor, the lady doctor in this case, that was his doctor, she said that he could go." Oh, okay. So I asked permission to leave, and I took my vehicle, and we drove around down to the parking lot of the hospital. I had to pick Avil up with all of his IV and everything, picked him up in my arms, and I carried him into the car, and we took him around to the back of Alto Refugio, and I carried him into the support group meeting, and we had a comfortable kind of a recliner chair where he could sit, and we made him real comfortable with pillows, and we put the IV up where it was supposed to be, and on, so he was all taken care of. And then, okay, well, we had been singing already, but Avil said he wanted to sing, so he would sing. Let's see, how does the song go? There was a song that he just loved to sing in Spanish. I'll have to think. Maybe it'll come to me yet. But anyways, we would sing that. He could hardly talk anymore. And so he would sing this. He would just look me in the face, and he would sing this song with all enthusiasm. And then when we had finished singing, then he said, "Excuse me, I would like to say something yet this afternoon." And so, okay, what would you like to say? And he said, "I thank..." And he spoke just very, very slowly. I won't speak that slowly this evening. "I thank God that I have reached my 12th year, and I pray that I will also reach my 13th year birthday. But if I die, I know that I am going to heaven because I received Jesus as my Savior. And if you want to go to heaven, you need to have Jesus in your heart." And another HIV person that was also very advanced AIDS, crippled as well, stood up and kind of hobbled over to Avil, gave him a big hug, and he says, "I also have Jesus in my heart. I also know where I'm going." I took Avil back to the hospital. 4 days later, he went to be with the Lord. And I said, there has never been a better pastor, a better preacher than Avil. In a few words, he had the gospel out there in front of those people, in just a few words, he was able to communicate the most important truth that anybody can ever receive. I know where I'm going, and if you want to go there, you better have Jesus in your life. And Avail's dreams were answered. He reached, he had a father, and he also became the most effective preacher, pastor that I have ever met. And I just like to say that, like, confirm what Judy was saying, that you better watch out what your dreams are, because God puts dreams in our hearts, and then he wants us also to act upon those dreams so that he can show his glory, that his light can shine to the ends of the earth. Finally, I'd like to invite a family here that's very special that we enjoyed very much. And to close off this evening, I would like to invite Willie and his family to come up here. And they have said that they would actually help me sing this song. And so you can just, maybe if you want to stand here a little bit by the monitor so you can see the words. I want to just say, I don't know if anybody was at the conference a year and a half ago. Like last summer, the conference was here, right? The year before, it was at Providence Seminary. Was anybody there at the Prov Seminary? Okay. Do you remember the very last session that we had and the song that we sang with the children? Who knows what the theme verse was for that conference? Colossians 2, verses 6 and 7. And I was helping with the children, singing, spending time with the children and helping them sing. And we learned this song with the children. And then on the very last session, I asked, had permission to get up in front with the children and to sing that song, because that was the theme song for the conference. And they gave us permission, and so we were up there singing. And this is kind of a repeat of that. And this family here has helped me to sing this song. And when you catch on to it, I would just appreciate if you would just help us all along, because we really don't like to be up here, right? Sink your roots in him and build yourself on him. Sink your roots in him and build yourself on him. Sink your roots in him and build yourself on him. Sink your roots in him and build yourself on him. Sink your roots in him. Build yourself on him, sink your roots in him, and build yourself on him. Sink your roots in him, and build yourself on him. And just the way you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so continue to live in him. Sink your roots in him, and build yourself on him, and be strengthened in the faith just the way you were taught, and overflowing with thanksgiving. Sink your roots in him, build yourself on him. Sink your roots in him and build yourself on him. Arraigados en él, sobre edificados en él, arraigados en él, y sobre edificados en él, arraigados en él, y sobre edificados en él, de la manera que habéis recibido al Señor Jesucristo, andad en él, arraigados en él, y sobre edificados en él, y fortalecido en tu fe como habéis sido enseñado, abundando en acciones de gracia. Sink your roots in him and build yourself on him. Sink your roots in him and build yourself on him. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Dave. Thank you for keeping our children, and I totally missed it. And Marilyn reminded me, and then I was reminded again, and so I thought, well, I better get that going, and so thank you for, and I'm sure they enjoyed this very much. And did you have anything more you wanted to share with us? Okay. Yeah. Well, according to the time back there, it's only 7:30, so. It looks like we got some time. Well, we want to, I'm not sure that we want to. I could listen for a while yet. I certainly could. But as I think we are wrapping it up, it is really 8:30, I guess, and we have children that need to go home and go to bed and get ready for school tomorrow. But I want to thank the missionaries for coming and sharing with us. Thank you, Dave and Judy. Thank you for giving us more than a bird's eye view, getting down into the nitty-gritty, and then the challenge for us, would we be ready to take in the travestites and the homosexuals and so forth if they were coming? Even whether it was a church, whether it was coming into a drop-in center in here. You're presenting a challenge to us because we have Muslims coming into our area. How are we treating them? A real challenge. And then as Jill shared with us this morning, for the least of these, a song that she had written. And that's how the world looks at those with HIV AIDS, those that are prostitutes, those that are, as we would say, in the gutter of life. And yet God has really given to us a picture tonight of what we're really called to do. So thank you, Dave and Judy, for just being honest and straightforward with us and blunt, if I can use that word, because sometimes we need those kinds of challenges. So thank you. We've been challenged by not only Dave and Judy, but also the Asian place. What's the Asian place? All of Asia, China, Vietnam, Laos, North Korea, South Korea, those areas, huge numbers of people, 4 billion people out of 7, and that don't know, or there's a very limited number of them that know. So thank you, Elmer, for taking us on that tour and sharing with us your heart. And I think the thing that has impacted me the most has been you missionaries sharing your heart and the enthusiasm that comes with it and the passion. It ought to move us to a place of where we are. What are we doing? What is life all about? Are we that passionate about opening our wallets and giving? Are we that passionate about moving? And I know Dale's just pulling this all in because Dale, you and Bev are on your way to South America. And you're getting excited about this. And I could tell this morning there were some things that you shared. even now, you shared about Ivy and can't remember his name now. It's just gone. Andrew and Ivy. And thanks, Elmer. Thanks, Elmer, for giving us the opportunity, those with degrees, to take on that. But there's lots of other ESL programs that we wouldn't necessarily need to have a degree for. But this way we get into the universities. And I don't think we could, we cannot downplay what Elmer shared with us about the importance of teaching the leaders. If we're going to change a society, we need to teach the leaders. And that reminds me of what Abraham Lincoln said. What is taught in the school of today will be practiced in the government of the next generation. And so we have seen a degrading since his time of what's happening in society. And so you and I are the light. And we have this great challenge. So thank you, Elmer. Thank you, Dave and Judy. And thank you, Ken. Where's Ken? Oh, he's in high level tonight. That's right. But I want to also extend a thank you to Ken for sharing with us what has happened after the transfer of missionaries out of northern Mexico. Because probably myself and a lot of others had our reservations. Why? And yet God has opened doors like we could never have imagined. And the nice thing about it is that the indigenous people are taking over and doing the work. And you folks have had many of those in the work there in Paraguay, the indigenous people coming right in, like Viva. Or Vivi, I guess it would be. Yeah, Vivi. Got to watch my eyes and E's here because in Spanish they sound differently. So thank you so much. And to you, the congregation, I want to thank you for the response that you have given tonight, but also throughout the weekend. You've been generous. We have exceeded our goal of $9,000. We have $11,161.75. So let's give God a hand because he's the one who brought these resources. Praise God. And thank you for being generous and opening up your hand and saying, here, take what I have. We are a small group here tonight, and I'm just going to ask if Dave and Judy you want to share something yet?
I remember the song. You mind if we sing a little Spanish song? It's amazing how fast you can forget things when you country, right? And so the songs that are normally very familiar to you, but if there's anybody that knows Spanish, they can probably come up here and help me sing it. Gozo, gozo, gozo yo quería, pero lo buscaba donde no lo había. Gozo, gozo, gozo yo quería, pero lo buscaba donde no lo había. Pero un día Cristo, el dador de la vida, me dio de este gozo del que yo quería. Pero un día Cristo, el dador de la vida, me dio de este gozo del que yo quería. Who knows that song, huh? It says, happy, happy. I sought for happiness where it was not found, but one day I came to Jesus and I found that happiness that I had been looking for. And that's the song that Avil would look at me in the face and he would sing that with me with all his heart. Gozo, gozo, gozo yo quería, pero lo buscaba donde no lo había. Gozo, gozo, gozo yo quería, pero lo buscaba donde no lo había. Pero un día Cristo, el dador de la vida, me dio de este gozo del que yo quería. Pero un día Cristo, el dador de la vida, me dio de este gozo del que yo quería. Amigo, ven a Jesucristo, Él quiere darte salvación. Amigo, ven a Jesucristo, Él quiere darte salvación. Como cordero fue llevado al matadero, por tus pecados fue clavado en la cruz. Como cordero fue llevado al matadero, por tus pecados fue clavado en la cruz. Gozo, gozo, gozo yo quería, pero lo buscaba donde no lo había. Gozo. Everybody in Paraguay, everybody claps when we sing, okay, so please. Gozo, gozo, gozo yo quería, pero lo buscaba donde no lo había. Gozo, gozo, gozo yo quería, pero lo buscaba donde no lo había. Pero un día Cristo, el dador de la vida, me dio de este gozo del que yo quería. Pero un día Cristo, el dador de la vida, me dio de este gozo del que yo quería.